This past summer was one of the wettest on record in Massachusetts. The heavy rains led to catastrophic flash flooding. In many places, it also caused a whole lot of sewage to overflow into rivers and other water bodies. WBUR's Miriam Wasser looks at why that happened and what, if anything, can be done to prevent it in the future.
David Stoff lives right by the Alewife Brook in Arlington. His backyard abuts the Greenway, which is a popular dirt path that runs along the water. He takes me to a spot a few hundred feet from his house where the path flooded during a heavy rainstorm in early August.
Where you're standing, you would be, I would say, ankle deep to knee deep in water.
Alewife Brook is narrow and shallow, and Stoff says the water overtopped the banks and submerged part of the Greenway.
There was a big pool of really milky gray sewage water that if you went near it, you could smell it.
That's right. There was raw sewage in the water. Stoff lives downstream from two combined sewer overflows, or CSOs. In most places, sewage and stormwater travel through separate pipes. The sewage goes to a treatment facility, and the stormwater usually ends up in a nearby water body. But in some older sewer systems, everything flows through the same pipe. Most days, this works just fine. But during a heavy rainstorm, these combined pipes often can't handle the volume. So instead of letting sewage back up into people's homes, the system is designed to overflow through specific outfalls into rivers, streams, or waterways. There is a public notification system to warn people when an overflow has occurred, but to get that information, you have to know to sign up for the email alerts. Stoff does get these emails, and after that big storm in August, he says he watched from his kitchen window as people walked through the contaminated water on the flooded path.
So I went out and I started saying, hey, you know, don't walk through that.
Stoff couldn't stop everyone, so he put up signs to warn people about the health risk.
And that finally got people to change.
Across Massachusetts, there are about 200 CSO outfalls. With all the rain we had this summer, there were close to 2,000 overflow events, many of which dumped millions of gallons of sewage-laden water into rivers and harbors. And while this year was particularly wet, in the future, that may not be such an anomaly. Climate scientists say that as humans continue to warm the planet, the Northeast is likely to see a lot more of the sudden heavy storms that cause CSO discharges. So what can be done about the problem? Green infrastructure, like rain gardens and more porous parking lots, can help by reducing the amount of stormwater that floods the sewer system. But in many places, that may not be enough to prevent all CSO overflows.
It's such a daunting challenge to eliminate them.
Phil Guerin led Worcester's Water and Sewer Department for about four decades before he retired earlier this year. He says it may sound easy to fix CSOs. Just separate the pipes, right? But redirecting stormwater to its own pipe is a huge and expensive undertaking.
In Worcester, probably 5 years ago, we did a separation project. It's on a tiny little street, just a little neighborhood street, and it was $3.5 million.
Only about 10% of Worcester's sewer pipes are combined, Guerin says. Separating all of them could easily cost the city $500 million. Sewer separation projects can also be a municipal nightmare.
All the CSO work is very disruptive to cities and towns because you're digging up streets, you're putting infrastructure often very deep in the ground.
There are two other engineering options to mitigate the problem, though. Cities can build holding tanks to store excess water that would otherwise overflow. Then they can slowly release it back into the sewer system once the rain has stopped. The other option is to partially disinfect the excess water before it overflows. This way, it introduces less harmful bacteria into rivers and streams. That's what happens here at this cavernous facility near the Charles River.
So what we'll do is we'll go around to the backside.
Stephen Cullen is with the Massachusetts Water Resources Authority, which manages wastewater and drinking water in the greater Boston area. The machines are off because it's a sunny day, but during a heavy rainstorm, some of the contaminated water that would otherwise discharge into the Charles River through several CSO outfalls is redirected here.
It will go through the gates in through these screens right here.
Cullen says the screens remove solids and floatables, like tampons and condoms, baby wipes, and anything else that's flushed down the toilet or washes into a catch basin on the street.
Does it smell bad?
I've been in the business a long time. It doesn't smell bad to me, but it would for normal people, it probably does.
After the solids are removed, the soupy gray water is treated with chlorine to kill pathogens. There are several more steps, but eventually the water is dechlorinated and pumped through a big underground pipe to Boston Harbor. It's not as clean as it would be had it gone through a full treatment process, but it contains less harmful bacteria. Still, treatment facilities like this are expensive to build, and they take up a lot of space, so they aren't feasible everywhere.
This is a challenge that we're facing right now.
Betsy Riley is the director of environmental quality at the Massachusetts Water Resources Authority. She says the federal government requires all communities with CSOs to make a plan for reducing their overflows. But there's no cheap or easy answer.
The most cost-effective solutions have already been implemented.
Riley says a lot of CSO outfalls have been closed or treated in the last few decades.
But the ones that remain are the ones that are the most difficult to tackle at this point.
Like the ones at Alewife Brook, near David Stauff's house. At the end of the day, experts say that how communities address the CSO problem kind of all comes down to municipal budgets and priorities. There's some federal loan money available, but for the most part, it's residents who foot the bill for these projects. So without an influx of cash or big government grants, some communities are likely to see sewage in the water for a long time. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Miriam Wasser.